like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. We know, friends and loved ones, at this time of the year, people are making preparations for the resurrection of our Lord that we call Easter. Many things have come forth from out of the years and past, and many things have come forth in false teachings and doctrines about the celebration of his birthday and of his resurrection. There's no Bible that you can find scriptures in your Bible that would require us to celebrate his birthday or his resurrection in the way that people do. So I just happy to know that God will give us the understanding if we'd ask for it by the reading of the word and giving him praise and honor. He will lead us in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake. So my friend, today we got to understand that in what Isaiah in 53, book of Isaiah chapter 53, he says, "To whom have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed?" My friend, the report has gone out long before you and I came into this world, even when Jesus himself, God, put on the robe of flesh and walked among men. He came for the purpose to die on Calvary's cross, that you and I could have the remission of our sin through his shed blood. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. But now, as he was died on somewhere around Tuesday afternoon, was put in the grave, and rose on the third day, not on the Sabbath, as some traditional say, that he was born, died and put in the grave on Friday and rose on the Sabbath. There was two Sabbaths that the Bible speaks about, the Sabbath and the Passover meal that Jesus and his apostles eat was like, instead of being the lamb roasted with bitter herbs as it was in Egypt, it was unleavened bread and the little wine that they took there. It was called the Last Supper. My friends and loved ones, we got to understand that God did not intend for us to take up the habits and be worshiping idols and false gods as the heathens did, when he told Jeremiah tell the people there not to be like the heathens and go into the woods and cut down a tree and with hammer and nails make it to stand alone. Then they deck it with silver and gold, and then they bow down to it. Now, there's no scripture that I found that says it forbids you, but he said, don't be like the heathens and do these things. So that would be indicate to me that we shouldn't do as the heathen does. If God has came into your life and you have truly been born again, separated from the things of the world, you're no longer considered a heathen into God's sight, but you've been a child of the King Jesus, being born again of the water and of the Spirit. If you have not received the Spirit of God, then you are not his, according to the Scripture. But being born again, we should need to separate ourselves from the things of the world, from traditions of old things past, and from ungodly worship of fables and wise tales and false gods, and worship the true living God. Because he came down here and put himself in the womb of a virgin named Mary. When he spoke his word, it went forth, and it came to be that she brought forth a male child, and she told her that his name should be called Jesus. No scripture that I can find in the Bible that wherein that we should to call on Mary as being the advocate between us and Jesus, and then Jesus the Father. It just says that we only have one advocate between God and man, the man called Jesus. Mary was just an ordinary person, but she was born in the lineage or from the lineage of David, wherein God chose David to be king, and therefore he came for the bloodline. So my friend, it's very obvious if you do the right thing and read the scriptures and stay away from all these false teachings and ungodly things that comes about in the world, because Paul made mention after he departed, he said that there were grievous wolves or come in people laden with sin, persuading and leading away silly women laden with sin. It meant churches, not an individual woman, but when he spoke in those terms, he meant churches. Many of them had come to be the daughters of the old harlot church in Revelations, which sat upon many waters and has rode the beast. My friend, so if you are one of her daughters, I would persuade you, if I could, to read your Bible and find out. You need to come out from amongst that kind of stuff and read and find out what God has to say about we come into this world as a man, God's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, to teach us and to bring forth and to bring us into the righteousness and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what he gave to the apostles to teach. And there's only one gospel, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul preached this, and he was the ambassador, if you want to say, or the apostle to the Gentiles. So we should leave off all these false teachings and doctrines and follow with the scriptures and reading what the Bible has to say, and turn aside from old wise tales and fables and unorthodox talking, and stick with the preaching of the gospel that wherein that the apostles give the authority by Jesus himself and gave him that right. So my friend, there's only one true church, and that was the one that God purchased with his own blood, as mentioned in there in Hebrews. He said, the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. That is, the blood of Jesus cleansed us from our unrighteousness. And honey, if you have not been born again and accepted the blood atoning price that God paid there for yours and my sins, the shed blood of Jesus, as the Passover supper was brought forth, a lamb was brought forth and slaughtered, and take the blood and put on the doorpost and the lintels of the house, and it was given unto the Hebrew children. And there, when they told them there that you put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and when the death angel came that night, when he seen the blood, he would pass over them. But there was no blood put on them of the heathens, or them of the Gentiles, or if you want to call them that, but the Egyptians, they didn't know about it. Well, there's one or two there that came into the house where the blood was, that they would come, because there was 6 million Jews came out, with approximately some of them was even strangers. So, my friend, it's time that we come to the knowledge of the truth of God's word and study, that we might know and to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, and be an acceptance of the Spirit of God being born again. So without the Spirit of God, we're none of his. So being a child of God, we need to understand the truth and not go by pagan worship, or rather heathen worship, that wherein that they do. Heathen worship comes from a number of different types of worship that's been floating around for many years. The old harlot church sits upon many waters, and she is a daughter of she rides upon the beast, which is the serpent of this world that led us all into sin because of one disobedience. Don't be disobedient to the word of God. Let God bring you to the truth. Easter is a day that we set aside, true enough, for the resurrection of our Lord. But eggs, rabbits, and those things had nothing to do with the resurrection of the Lord. So if we read in Matthew, the time there in Matthew 28, wherein that he, when he rose, he said, in the end of the Sabbath, as they bring to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him that kept, the keepers did quake and became as dead men. And the angel answered unto them, the women, and fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples, his disciples, that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he go before them to Galilee. There they shall see him. Lo, I have told you this. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and fear of great joy, and did run and bring the disciples word. Now, friend, they brought the word that he had risen. They had seen the open tomb, seen the place where they had laid his body, but it was not there. But the angel told the Mary, Magdalene and Mary there, that to go and tell his disciples that he go before them and he would meet them in Galilee. Now, he didn't say go by the store and get a bunch of eggs and bunny rabbits and all this here kind of stuff and go have a big party and everything. But he just merely told them to go and tell his disciples that he had risen and he go before them, then they would meet him and he would meet them in Galilee. There he would see them. My friend, where did all this here stuff come from? It came out of pure lies, unorthodox truth, and it came forth as out of paganism. My friend, it's just absolutely not anything had to do with God's resurrection there from the dead, rabbits, eggs, and these things. But old time things that came out of false teachings and everything, and he put it there that Esther was a time that, and the rabbits and the eggs represented fertility and all this thing, had nothing to do with Jesus' resurrection. God placed in the elements of a man and woman there to produce life and therefore, but he's the only one that can give it. My friend, it just seems to me like that people this day and time, as much education as went around and as much things that have come about in the world, that they would know better, but they still follow after old traditions and old wise tables and false teachings. Be it known. Read your word of God. Find out what is and what ain't, and let God help you to make that decision and give you the understanding of it. As I say, read your Bible. Find out what God has to say about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for yours and my benefit. For if he had not have died, we would have had no bloodshed. We would have had no remission of sin. And if he'd have died and was buried and had not rose, it would have still, we and I and you would still be in our sin. So, my friend, we need to understand that there was a death, shed blood, a burial, and a resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to observe it and worship him in spirit and in truth and leave off all this false paganism worship and all these things of the celebrating, hiding eggs and all this kind of stuff. People down through the years taught that Santa Claus come and brought presents to the kid. Well, I've heard it to be say that a lot of children said, my mom and daddy lied to me about Santa Claus. There ain't no such a thing. And if they lie about that, then how many more lies have they told me? My friend, don't lie to your children, because sooner or later you're going to suffer the consequences. I know that I was taught that, but when I come to find out the truth, I didn't accuse my mom and dad about lying or anything, but I thank God for the truth. And no longer do I support the thing about a Santa Claus. No longer do I support the things of a Easter rabbit and his eggs being a part of the resurrection of our Lord. So, my friend, study your word. Read it for yourself and let God direct you and give you the understanding and wisdom. Here's my wife's got something or other here that I believe would be interested to you. and that she's going to read. So here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Well, praise the Lord. I just appreciate Jesus every day of my life. He had done so much for me. I was an old sinner because the Bible said we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. No matter how you were raised, unless you repent and ask the Lord into your heart, you are not saved. I don't know, care what anybody says. That's the way the Bible said, except you repent, you shall all perish. But I have an article here. It's a little lengthy, and I pray, just pray for me. We're in Florida, and the allergies are bad. But it's why observe Easter. What do celebrations surrounding Easter have to do with the biblical account of Jesus' death and resurrection? Truthfully, little to nothing at all. And the origin of Easter came from Istra, and she was a fertility, goddess of fertility, assembled by the rabbit. The connection of the name and many Easter customs, paganism, is an indisputable matter of historical record. This ought to elicit questions from anyone who, with an active mind. Does it not seem strange to stamp the name of a pagan goddess on what is considered the most sacred holiday of professing Christianity? Why would leaders allow or do such a thing when scriptures explicitly prohibits borrowing heathen practices? See Deuteronomy 12:29-32 and Jeremiah 10:2. Why do leaders of mainstream Christianity not speak out about this? Furthermore, blatant paganism surrounding the celebration of Easter does not stop with the name. Would not a curious person want to know what eggs, bunnies, hot cross buns, and Easter lilies have to do with the resurrection of Christ? The truth is, these two were borrowed from heathen custom. This is easily discovered by a little research which this average person can conduct. Strange, isn't it? Why would Christianity embrace customs that are common in the worship of a foreign deity? Few Sunday morning churchgoers are familiar with the history of our religious practices. That is because they never question handed down traditions, and at one time, neither did I. Thankful I didn't have those traditions. Why should we? We trusted that our parents would never lie to us, at least not intentionally, or would they? Why is it that when it comes to religion, it appears to be okay to lie to children? Consider Santa Claus. Not only do parents lie to their children, but so do priests and ministers. As did our parents, we at least at one time viewed religious figures as trusted sources of information. They are supposed to be the experts on the Bible. They went to seminary school to study the scriptures, and each week they stand up to tell us what the Bible teaches. At least that is a common conception of their role in their lives, but are they the experts? Read your Bible. That's the only way that you can learn anything. No matter what anybody tells you, it's like when you go to school, the only thing you know is what your teacher tells you. And after you get out of school, that's when you learn. At least that is a common conception of their role in our lives. But are they the experts? Sadly, that is not the case. The lies they tell us are not always discovered as routinely as the truth about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. When tradition meets truth, tradition more often wins out. Truth will always win in the end, but the end can be a long way off. Specifically, the commonly accepted days of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrections are wrong. He was not crucified on a Friday, and he was not resurrected Sunday morning. That may be shocking, but it is provable. How can that be? And what difference does it make? When this truth is shown in the scriptures, defenses are raised, but they fall in the face of facts. The key passage and the reason why this whole question is important is found in Matthew 12:38-40. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Note carefully, this is the only sign that Jesus said would prove that he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. No matter how you try, you cannot count 3 days and three nights between late Friday afternoon and early Sunday morning. Just try it yourself and you'll see that you can't. Even if you count a few minutes of Friday afternoon when he was put in the tomb right before sunset and a few minutes on Sunday morning, you only have 3 days and two nights. That is being generous by counting very small parts of the days, beginning and the end. The Big Don Bible Commentary bluntly tells us Jesus was mistaken. The statement made is inaccurate, for Jesus was in the grave only from Friday evening to Sunday dawn. That is a very serious charge. Was Jesus mistaken when he described the only sign that he was the Messiah? Most commentators do not accept his statement to be literal. They allege the combined day and night simply means a single 24-hour day. They also claim that the first and third days only need to be a portion of a day each. However, there are serious problems with this reckoning. As seen from the commentary above, at least one authority does not buy this argument and simply asserts the statement made is inaccurate. We must remember that Matthew 12:40 is not dependent on the Greek alone. Jesus points us back to Jonah, and that account is written in Hebrew, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So how long was Jonah in the belly of the fish? And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The book of Jonah was written in the Hebrew language, and we must also consider that language and its common usage to understand this impression. It definitely states that when it says that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, Jonah 1:17, it means exactly what it says, pointing out that this can be the only meaning of the expression. The Good Friday Easter Sunday tradition is further complicated by the timeline found in the gospel accounts. The weekly biblical Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday and ends at sunset on Saturday. Without investigating any further, then it would appear that Jesus was crucified on Friday morning about 9 o'clock, died around 3 o'clock, was put in the grave very late Friday afternoon. But is this what the Bible says? There's no doubt that Jesus was crucified on a preparation day for a Sabbath. But which Sabbath was this? People carelessly assume it was the weekly Sabbath, but the annual holy days are also Sabbaths of rest, and each one has a preparation day that precedes it. Was this a weekly Sabbath or an annual Sabbath? Jesus kept the Passovers with his disciples at the beginning of the Passover day, shortly after sunset on Nisan 14. This is made clear by all three synoptic gospels. This is what Luke records. The day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat." So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered a city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the preacher's teacher says to you, where is a guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? So they went and found it, just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That was Luke 22:7-11 and 13-15. The so-called Last Supper was in fact the Passover, as Mark and Luke also confirmed. It is important to remember that God measures each day from sunset to sunset, and this was the practice of the Jews in Christ's day. Therefore, when Jesus sat down with his disciples at the beginning of the Passover day, it was the evening, shortly after sunset. Most Bible students are familiar with the fact that he was arrested later that night and crucified during daylight portion of the same sunset to sunset Passover day. He died around 3 o'clock and was put into tomb just before sunset. All this occurred during the 24 hours of the Passover day. And there are two Sabbaths that week.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We know that Jesus came into this world to die for us. We know that when the children of Israel was captive in Egypt, there where they were held captive by Pharaoh, we know that there came a time when God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to take a lamb, and out of the flock, it had to be one that was without a spot or blemish, and they would choose it for the household that wherein that they would kill, and therefore they would bring it forth and they would prepare it. And at the Passover, they would kill the lamb and then take the blood and put on the doorpost and the lintel. And the death angel would come and he'd see the blood, then he would pass over that dwelling. No one in that behind the doors would pass away or die. My friend, the Egyptian didn't know about this, but then there were some strangers that came to the children of Israel that they would know about these things. My friend, you and I were strangers to the children of Israel, but God had mercy on us, and he, in times past there, and he has saved some of us there, even come to the place that we're in that he called us heathens, and that we were in darkness under a curse of death without any hope. But Jesus became the Passover lamb to bring salvation to all that would believe upon his name and call upon him. Friends and loved ones, we got to understand that the Passover in Egypt there for the children of Israel was for them that Pharaoh would let them go. And that was their Passover, but it was supposed to be kept according to the word of God, that each year they were supposed to keep that Passover. And this is what it amounted to in the day that Jesus told the apostles there to go and prepare a place for the Passover. He desired to eat the Passover with them. Now, Jesus was the Passover lamb, as the scripture said, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But my friend, we got to see that when Jesus told them what to do, and they would find out the place to where they would eat the Passover or the Last Supper, and they came and they found the man, as Jesus had said, he showed them the room and they prepared it for there. And there came there the Lord himself, and they sat down and they eat the Passover supper. Jesus took unleavened bread, my friend, and he broke it and gave to the apostles and told them to eat it there. For this is the bread of my body. And when he gave them the cup there, he said, take and drink this. He said, for this represents, in other words, the blood that I shed. So, my friends, we got to understand that the lamb in Egypt was a lamb, a real live lamb. It was killed and was eaten with bitter herbs, and the people had their shoes on, packed up, and ready to go, because Pharaoh run them out, because all the firstborn of him and had died, even to, I think it was his son and maybe others and everything. Everything that was the firstborn died that night when the death angel came through. So he wanted to get them out in a hurry, so he run them off. But my friend, later on, he destroyed Pharaoh and his whole army in the sea there when they called the Egypt was a place of destitute, in other words, so because they didn't have no slaves there. So he went to gather back the Jews there, the children of Israel, to make them slaves again. But when Moses raised the rod, God parted the sea, and the children of Israel went across on dry ground. Pharaoh thought he would go after them anyway, and he entered into the sea there, and God closed the waters up on them and drowned the whole thing. My friend, it's not a coincidence. All things are possible with God. But Jesus came to be the Passover lamb. Jesus himself, on that day, eat bread and drank the cup with them there at the Passover supper. Well, I said he eat the bread and drank the cup. Maybe he didn't. But anyway, he broke the bread and gave to them and told them to eat, for this was his body. He passed the cup around and told them to drink it all, for that was the blood of the New Testament. My friend, we got to understand that God didn't do things out of context or off the spur of the moment. This was planned from the foundation of the world. It didn't come to just be in the mind of God that day, but it was all in the mind of God from the foundation of the world that he was going to come into this world. For the scripture said that Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So it was not just a planned thing of the spur of the moment. It was already in everything to be fulfilled. But now people have come to the place to worry in that they bring paganism, unorthodox religion, into religious and call themselves Christians. They might be religious, but being as far from Christian as they should, as they are, religion will get you in trouble, my friend. But the truth of God's word will set you free from all religions and bring you to the salvation, Christianity in Christ Jesus. If you'll understand the scriptures, if you'll ask God to give it to you, he'll give you the understanding. But my friend, there's been many of preachers that went to these seminars and learned how to preach, and most of it was because they wanted to make people think they was important and they wanted a lot of money, in which a lot of them is getting it because they preach things that's not proven by the Bible. They preach his prosperity, give, give. That's right. But he said, it didn't say give to them. He said, in other words, he wanted you to give to others that had need. But these preachers have built up monuments to themselves, got plenty of money in the bank, built big castles for themselves to live in and everything. All this stuff is going to pass away at the coming of the Lord. As Peter said, that the heavens will pass away of the loud racket, and the elements should melt with the favorite heat. So where will all this stuff go? My friend, I haven't been to a seminar school, and I thank God for that. Paul didn't go. He was a smart man, but he didn't go to a seminar somewhere with some of the apostles there then to teach him what the gospel. He went out into Arabia, into a desert place, there that he got the revelation of grace from Jesus Christ himself. And he didn't give him a golden tablet and then take it away, but he gave him the gospel by the Holy Ghost, and he preached this gospel unto us, and he brought it forth. Nowhere did Paul tell the Gentile race that they were to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord with eggs and rabbits and of those things of that nature and Santa Claus and things. But he told them to search the scriptures to see to find the truth, in other words, rightly divided the word of truth, that a workman be not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of this gospel, my friend, because it's power unto salvation. Jesus Christ crucified, put in a grave, and rose on the third day, as the scripture said, and I don't think that rabbits and things had anything to do with it. I don't believe that kind of false teachings and doctrine. I don't participate in these things, my friend, and I would suggest that you not do, because it's false and it has nothing to do with our resurrection, our Lord. No place in the scripture you find that God commanded us to celebrate his birthday on the 25th day of December, and that was a false teaching, because on the 25th day of December was them sun worshipers, that they sun God, and they brought it forth, and therefore they just wanted the pagan God there, they wanted it somewhere, something to celebrate, so there they called it Jesus' birthday, but it wasn't, my friend. Be wise enough to understand and read the scriptures, asking God by his Spirit to lead and direct you in the truth of God's word, and study it out and find out. God doesn't lie, my friend. It's not possible that he can lie. He tells us the truth there in his word, and if we'll be led by the Spirit of God, he said when he come, he would lead us and guide us into all truth. The truth of the matter is that there's no such a thing as Santa Claus. There's no such a time that Jesus was, no evidence that he was born on the 25th day of December, because the shepherds was not in the field at that time of the year because it's cold. The sheep are in the stalls, in the, put up in the barns, and the shepherds is taking care of business in that manner. But now, paganism tells you that they was in the, on the 25th day, they was in the, shepherds was in the field by night. My friend, it can't be, because it's not possible. Read your scriptures. Check it out with history. Check it out with the Spirit of God. And with Easter come along here not too long from now, don't be fooled by these false teachings and doctrines like many people. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and I come out from amongst it and got to be, find out that I belong to the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. Not a denomination, but that's the true church that come into the knowledge of the truth of God's grace through Jesus Christ, and salvation cometh by him and not through no other way. There's no truth in this celebration of these holidays that paganism has come up with. So beware of it. Pull yourself aside from it. Jesus tells us there that he had overcome the world. But my friends, it's a lot of people that they'll go to these worldly places and there for all kinds of stuff. Bible says that their time would come that when they would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And you'll take people that'll go out and spend thousands of dollars on a vacation to go to some of these here places that the devil has set up to draw them away. They'll take the children and spend all this money, but they won't go to church and pay God his 10% of their earnings. Now, my friend, it's not right. But God's going to be the last one to say the last word. And he's going to say to them that love him and they have worshiped him and have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, and he'll say, enter into my rest. But unto them that have not the Spirit of God and have worshiped all these here false gods and doing all this stuff contrary to God's word and not loving him, have not been born again, he's going to tell them, said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. My friend, it's more to salvation than just raising your hand and saying, I'm a Christian. It's more to salvation than just raising your hand, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and therefore. That's good and true, true and well. You need to let him come into your life, but it's got to be through a contrite spirit and therefore crying out to God, being godly sorrow and repentance. Turn from your ungodly ways and walk in the light of the gospel, being led by the Spirit of God. These people that claim that they're this and claim that they're that, and you can claim anything, doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. My friend, I could say I'm an airplane pilot, and I know nothing about flying an airplane. I know where to go up, and I know where to come down. But to do all that there, I don't know. But nevertheless, I know how to get on my knees and seek the face of my God for the truth of his word. And this I have done, and I continue to do. As Paul said, I have not yet obtained, but I strive it for the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. Paul was not perfect. He made mistakes, as we all do in the flesh, but he was oftentimes, he died daily. He repented every time he found himself in a mistake. He repented and asked God to forgive. Some people says, oh, well, I made that mistake. I may as well give up. The devil's got me. And if you don't repent, my friend, he'll have you. But my God is able to sustain us if we will trust in him. He'll guide and lead us into his kingdom by his spirit if we will allow him to do that. My friends, it's come to the time to where, you know, Brother McGee used to say, the rubber hits the road. It's either serve God in the beauty of holiness according to the word of God, or accept him and his truth as biblically is expressed to us by reading and studying it and find out the truth, or just go ahead, do your old thing and please the flesh, celebrate all these here pagan holidays the way they do, and you resort in it and everything. And when it comes to the time that you stand before the living God and you say, Lord, Lord, we've done all this and done all that in your name, but he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. So that's going to be the finalities. Ain't no lawyer going to jump up and say, hey, we want a new trial. We're going to bring forth evidence that he's okay and he didn't do all these things and everything. When God says, depart from me, your friend, you're going to be gone. That's plain and simple. Even that smart lawyer that's with you, if he don't know God, and the judge that sits behind that past judgment on that, if he don't know the Lord and hadn't been born again, he's going to join you within that. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Only them that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have been born again of the water and the spirit, and have separated themselves from the things of the world. And therefore, when the Lord said, come ye out from among the world, and be you therefore separated, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. If you still hanging on to worldly traditions, false teachings, and all the things that the world has to offer, please the old flesh, and honey, you haven't repented and turned aside from that stuff, you're lost. You need to repent. Turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll give you that you need. He'll lead you in the way. And you say, well, what fun is that? It's a lot of fun to know that if you lay down tonight and go to sleep and not wake up in the next day, but you're secured in the arms of God, and his blood has sanctified you and brought you in to know that there is a resurrection of the dead. My friend, it's come to the time you got to realize if he resurrected, he was the first to resurrect and never to die again. But when he comes to get his bride, the church, from the face of the earth, that which are dead in Christ, them which are born again and died in Christian, and they have been repented of their sins and died in truth and upheld the truth and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted that atoning price that he paid for their sins, and their blood of Jesus is applied to them, and they've come out of the dust of the earth, from corruption to incorruption. And the Bible says that them that remain to be alive, as Paul preached the gospel, he said, they'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and they'll be from mortal to immortality, and they will meet the Lord in the air, and there they shall forever be with the Lord. My friends, if you got all the wealth in the world, it can't buy your way into the kingdom. Jesus spoke about the rich man and a Lazarus. Lazarus died and was carried to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died and was buried, but in hell he lifted up his eyes and he seen a Lazarus afar off. And there he cried out, Father Abraham, let Lazarus come and tip his finger into the water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. He said, remember, my friend, if you in hell, you're going to remember all that you have done in this life concerning unrighteousness. Therefore, with all the sin you committed, you're going to remember it. Because he told the rich man, remember in that life that he lived, that he was comforted. He had everything his heart's desire. He had food and raiment and a place to live, and Lazarus had nothing. But now Lazarus is comforted, and you tormented. Well, tell Lazarus to go and tell my brothers not. No, my friend, even though a dead, Jesus died. He came back and was seen 40 days there at the time, showed himself to be alive to the apostles and to about 500 at one time and to others. My friend, he showed himself to be alive, and it was a proven fact that he came from the grave. No doubt in my mind about it. The scripture bear record of it, and its scriptures is truth. Remember, Isaiah 53 said, who has believed our report? The report is there. Believe it, and you can receive it. But if you believe not what the report has been given, and you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be lost, my friend, plain and simple. You got to believe in order to be saved. You got to believe that he did come into this world to die for a sinner such as you and I. And that these things, paganism, worship, had nothing to do with his death. They didn't kill him. He gave his life.
Right.
He gave himself there and allowed them to take him and do what they done to him. They allowed him for the stripes of our healing on his back. He was punished. There, he purchased our salvation there with his own life and his shed blood. He didn't. They didn't kill him, although some of them says he did. Well, the Romans crucified him. That was the Roman way. A wicked bunch of people. That was the way they would do people when they sentenced them to death, nail them on the cross. Well, people come down through the years of hanging and electrocuting, and now they give them a shot and put them to sleep before they die. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in. We got to understand God is sovereign. He is the only one that can give life, and he's the only one that can take life. We die because of our sins. When sin is finished, bringeth forth death, according to the scripture. And we will live into the righteousness of God, accepting the atoning price that Jesus paid there on Calvary for our sins, and that blood has been cleansed us from our unrighteousness, been applied, and therefore there and come to the place to where in that when God sees the blood, he will pass over you and he will bring you into the kingdom of God. Only if we've had the blood applied to our sin. So paganism is not going to get it, my friend. Dollars and cents is not going to buy your way in. You got to live the life, not just say I'm this or I'm that, but live the Christian life. Let your light so shine that others may see Christ in you. Christ, the hope of glory. We should have our hope in him, not in the material things of the world, because they'll all be gone away with. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. If we accept the atoning price of his shed blood, then all these other things that paganism brought forth and teaches people, you know why? He can get you persuaded to do all these you junky things. The devil's got you by the coattail, and he'll drag you into hell by all these false gods and false worshiping and beat you in the face with the dust, so I've said many times. Now, he won't do that, but you'll be in hell with him, and there you'll be for eternity. And eternity, my friend, is a long, 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 long. It just ain't no end. Someone said there one time, if in eternity, if a sparrow circled the globe of the earth, and each time he circled it, just the tip of his wing, would brush away a grain of sand, and when it was all brushed away, that eternity would be just begin. Now think about it, how long it would take to brush away the earth, one grain at a time. My friend, eternity is a life that you want to spend with Jesus forevermore. Be in that new Jerusalem wherein that God is the light. And he said, John seen it coming down. He didn't promise you now no gold mansion and silver line, but he did say, I'll go and prepare a place for you. I believe the place is prepared. It just ain't came into focus yet, because there's a few things that's got to happen before that time. But I know in my heart that God has prepared a city, a new Jerusalem, wherein dwelleth righteousness, wherein that the old things are passed away, and behold, he'll make all things new. That city of light, a city that's built four square, 1,500 square miles. My friend, any way you want to go, but they don't need the sun, because God will be the light. The doors will never be shut, or the gates will never be shut, and the gates will be made out of one pearl. Think about it, how big that pearl's got to be. The street's going to be gold, and the river's going to run through it, and there are 12 manners of fruit growing on the trees. Think about it. Wouldn't that be better than a gold mansion and silver line? For me, it would be. It's not even comparison to the garden that Adam and Eve was in, but they had it made until they disobeyed. My friend, don't disobey the word of God. Be tentative to hear, to be tentative to obey. Be tentative to seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, crying out to God for his righteousness and his salvation. Don't follow in traditions of man and made man, gospels and everything, and believe in all this here that you got to belong to a certain organization, you can't go to heaven. That's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. You don't belong to Jesus if you hadn't been born again. You're not going to make it. I don't care what name, what denomination you got your name on. I don't care whereabouts you go to church. If you don't belong to the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood, and that is the soul of man that born again of the water and of the spirit. He purchased us with his own blood. His own blood forgave us, washed us, and cleansed us from our unrighteousness. That's the only church you need to belong to. You got to get your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where it's got to be, not on some denominational name from here to yonder, wherever, but you need to be according to the scriptures. As Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Many people don't believe in the Holy Ghost. Well, they said, well, that ghost means something. Well, Jesus died. He was resurrected. And he come back, and he promised them there after 50 days they were to stay in the upper room 10 days and to receive the power from on high. And when the 10th day there came a sound of a rushing wind that filled the room, and clothing tongues of fire set upon each and every one of them. And they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Ghost was given as a promise that Jesus told them that I will pray the Father. He will send you another comforter in my name, and he will bring forth truth into you and lead you and guide you into all truth. My friend, it's got to be his way or no way. You can't skip over and miss out. Play hooky from God's will and still make it in. You may have played hooky a few days in your school years. You may have missed a few semesters, and you may have been smart enough to get your diploma, but that ain't going to get it with God. You're going to have to apply yourself to God's word. You're going to have to apply yourself to live in the way that he would have you to live. Paul was a smart man, but he learned the gospel from the revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, to bring forth this gospel unto you, saved by grace through faith in the precious blood of Jesus. That's the only way it can be, not through false teachings and doctrines, worshiping false gods and things of that nature. So may God bless you. I hope I've said something to encourage you and lift up the name of Jesus. We thank you for those that have wrote to us. We appreciate it, and we thank you for it, because it encourages us as we attempt to encourage you to seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. Leave aside all the things of the world and give yourself unto God. Time is running short, my friend. Time is now. The day of salvation is at hand. Right now, we need to pray. God bless you and keep you. Write to us if you will. If you would, please let us know where, what country or whatever you come from, writing from. I would appreciate it. And thank you very, very much for those that have answered the request. May God bless you and keep you until next time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross so all our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. Took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.